Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Lisnick Behind the Curtain. It's my opportunity to step away from the world of politics and law that you watch me cover on television every day to do, maybe more fun stuff, oftentimes theater arts and stuff. But today, I actually have another passion. And the passion is the architecture in our city. And from time to time, you've seen my podcast where I interview various people tied to the world of Chicago history and Chicago architecture. But today, I get to talk to somebody who kind of owns most of the Chicago architecture and architecture from around the world. But what's better is he wants to sell it to you. So if you're into the history of our city, our country, our world, you want to know this guy. Stuart Grannon is the owner of Architectural Artifacts, been a mainstay here for almost 40 years. I could just spend hours walking around. You let me bring my dogs in and I could just search around and find things. Thanks for talking to me.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I'm glad you brought the dogs in. That was always a big part of the fun.
Oh, absolutely. And it's what let me like be away from home for a while because I never like to leave them. but anyway, so I think for people who maybe aren't familiar, I think a lot of people who are with us and know what we're about to talk about are totally into this and probably know who you are and certainly your company. But for those who just listen to the podcast and this is new, talk about the history of architectural artifacts. Because I know back in the 60s, 70s, you as a young kid, which was I was a young kid, you were still into this. You were going to antique shops. You were checking this stuff out.
You know, I started with my parents liked antiques. I grew up on the East Coast. Lots of antiques, old buildings there. And they just kind of dragged me along. And I kicked and screamed for a little bit. And then I decided I kind of liked it, to tell you the truth. As I got older, I started to acquire things. And mostly architectural related. And my parents thought I was completely out of my mind. But they were courteous enough to let me use the garage and the basement and the backyard to store all my stuff. And then when I went to college, I went to school in Knoxville. During the time of the World's Fair, they were knocking everything down. So we bought and sold lots of stuff. Ended up in New Orleans right about when they were doing a World's Fair. Got a job there with an architectural antique store and moved to Chicago after that. Chicago's the best city in certainly in this country, possibly in the world for architecture. It's a lot of things, Frank Lloyd Wright, Louis Sullivan, a lot of architecture style started here. So, you know, a lot of people don't know it, but we live in one of the greatest architectural cities in the world.
And of course, Sullivan and Adler, right? Let's not forget them. And
absolutely.
And, you know, and the thing is, and I'll just do a separate plug for the Chicago Architectural Foundation, because the reality is one day you can take a tour of all the skyscrapers and new stuff that most people are familiar with when they come to the city, but take another day and do the walking tour of the downtown buildings that take you back to the earliest parts of the city, not destroyed by the Chicago fire. But it's absolutely fascinating. So for me, you know, I also collect a lot of memorabilia, entertainment memorabilia, movies and stuff. So to actually be able to own a part of a building that's a reasonable size part of a building is just sort of stunning. So, in fact, in front of my home, I have a finial off of one of the buildings downtown. I've got something from the Garrick Theater. I mean, on and on. And it's a shame when these things get destroyed. But the fact that people can have parts of them in their personal collection, I guess, is why you have the customer base you do.
It is a shame. I don't ever want to see any of the buildings get knocked down, but Chicago's got a history of creating and destroying architecture.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how Chicago is. But also many, many, many people were, I don't know, smart enough, lucky enough to think I should save a little piece of this. And there are certainly historic theaters and skyscrapers in Chicago that are no longer here. But people said, I want a piece of this. So over the years, I've done the same thing. We're not responsible for buildings getting knocked down. But I think I am personally responsible for buying these things as opposed to going to the junkyard or in the dump and saving it. It's art. It's just building art is what it is. So I'm lucky enough that and crazy enough to tell you the truth, that we'd climb on the buildings, out the buildings, you know, over the roofs when they were being destroyed and everything else, buy these things from the wrecking companies and offer them back for sale. And it may sound a little cold and hard-hearted, but it's like any other piece of art. And I'm glad we save it, to tell you the truth.
Well, and there's another piece of this. So, yes, it is true that I love the different pieces that are around. And sometimes it's just a section of a building or a piece out of an elevator, Yeah. So all sorts of things like that. But you also have tremendous collections of hardware and lots. And the bottom line is, if somebody owns an old building, they're liable to come and find replacement parts.
Business was for many years, people restoring their homes, restoring businesses, old buildings in general. It's gotten away from that a little bit these days because people will buy a Victorian house and mostly gut it and put in all new. But if you want to take it back to the original hardware, everything, we've got all that for you as well.
Yeah, my fireplaces that I have here, I bought from you. And they're just, you know, and people come in and they're stunning, I think. And you know, and the fact that you can look and people say, oh, wow, did you, you know, was that when you built the house? No, I bought that. And it was all about measurements. And in fact, what I did was I bought the fireplace while I was building my home. And so that when I was able to come to you, I was able to have the measurements to say, here's what I'm going to need.
Yes, very smart. Very smart. That way you get the mantle you want. And you build it into place, and you save money, you save time, and you get exactly what you want. You don't build yourself into a corner that way.
Right.
The fireplaces were a huge part of our business for many, many years, many years. Nowadays, we only want sort of the best of the best. So I say if it's got carved naked ladies all over it, and it's marble, and it came out of some palace in the south of France, that's the one we want these days.
And we should talk about that. I keep talking about Chicago because, I mean, a lot of my viewers and listeners are in Chicagoland area, but you've got things from all over the world. I mean, Argentina, right? They're from all over. And when I go to those countries, I love antiquing there.
Yes. You know, Argentina is my favorite place in the world. For many years, it was the wealthiest country in the world between the world wars. Europe was all beat up. U.S. was beat up. So a lot of people went to Argentina. It's a wonderful, wonderful country. It's my favorite place. So I buy a lot there. I buy a lot in Europe where there's certainly wonderful, wonderful pieces of Italy, France, Belgium, Germany, Czech Republic, those kind of places. So, you know, anywhere there's good design everywhere in the world. And that's what I want to find and you know, sort it out and buy it if possible and bring it back to Chicago.
If people are looking for something, and I know you're about to move your business, but listen, we do have the internet these days. So if somebody's looking for something in particular, do you have a lot of customers who say, Stuart, this is what I need. Can you go find this?
Yes. Yeah. And I get that question asked every day. And truthfully, I don't do it. Somebody's going to ask me, Stuart, I want a blue elephant. And I go and I find the most perfect blue elephant. And then they tell me, well, I wanted the different shade of blue. So I always am very, you know, this is giving away one of my trade secrets. I'm very polite about it and whatnot. Say, I'll look for you, but I don't tell you the truth.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad you told me.
Yeah,
right.
I don't.
Of course, you could also give them a bucket of paint and go, here's the shade. Do whatever shade you like.
However, what I do is, you know, we've been around Chicago 37 years now. Yeah. We know who the good players are in the, you know, say you need tile work, you need glass. We know a lot of the people in town who do good work, and I'm very happy to recommend anybody. So that's what we do instead. I'll say, you can find a blue elephant here, and that'll be your best bet.
I'm curious, how does things like Preservation Chicago, organizations that, you know, live to save buildings and stuff, and you made it very clear, you're not the one calling for the knockdown, but I'm sort of curious, do you have good relationships with organizations or Ward Miller and just people who are in that world of the whole preservation stuff?
Oh, boy, you're stirring up the paint now. So,
hey, because I love this topic.
I would say yes. We've done, and not to blow my own horn, but we've done more to actually save buildings in Chicago than most other people. And when it comes to the point where these things are going to come down for, you know, the powers that be say they're going to get knocked down, we're there to try to buy it and save everything we can. So, you know, I always feel badly when the buildings come down because I think Chicago has lost a huge part of its heritage and a huge part of its culture, to tell you the truth. Chicago, to me, was always the queen city of American architecture, and that started on Michigan Avenue. If you look at Michigan Avenue now, it's a strip mall, basically, in my eyes. It you know, it's not what it could have been. I also understand that buildings have a shelf life, that they become obsolete or not useful or not efficient anymore. But there's ways to get around that. So I'm the first one to say let's preserve these buildings. Let's not knock them down.
What's a reaction you have when you see a building like You know, the old Carson Peary Scott or Marshall Field's, now Macy's and whatever. But, you know, these buildings that were so classic back in the early days, and then somehow some new company comes in and they feel that Medina Temple, and they feel the need, they feel the need to make everything look like Walgreens, to all due respect to Walgreens. But that's got to kill you when you see the internal dynamics of a building.
They gut the building, and it guts me as well, to tell you the truth. It's and all those buildings you mentioned, we have pieces from there.
I know you do. Yeah. Medina Temple especially.
Oh, the Madonna. I have a horrible story that there was a massive, massive giant chandelier in the Medina Temple. This is 30, 35 years ago. And we bought it and lowered it down from the ceiling and started taking it apart piece by piece. And I came back the next morning. Someone had taken a sledgehammer to it and destroyed it and just laughed. I saw them the next day, and they just laughed. And it was part of the management. We'll just call it that way. And
wow,
some people have no respect for it. So I want to see things saved. And architects are smart. Business leaders are smart. They know a way to figure out how to save these things. And you know, when you have a brand in Chicago that is architecture, or it used to be at least, keep up with the brand. And, you know, it's not all about the bean and everything else. We had incredible, you know, groundbreaking buildings here in Chicago. Let's keep them.
Yeah. In fact, one of the things I own, part of my collection, I have an original copy of Daniel Burnham's 1909 plan for the, you know, and it was the copy that was presented to the guy who provided all the cement for the World's Fair of 1893, because his sticker is in there from him. So, I mean, when you talk about sort of, yeah, go back to when things started, what was in Burnham's mind? What was he thinking? It's an amazing thing. And then to be able to own things, if only from the Columbian Exposition. But you don't really have that kind of stuff. I mean, people are not going to come to your place and find various objects to art from the Columbian Exposition. I mean, maybe you do get that.
No, we will. We will, definitely. I can think of, we have some big streetlights from the Columbian Exposition. I've got some smaller sconces and things.
I'm thinking of things like the spoons and the tickets, and that's the kind of thing.
No. But there are many collectors in Chicago, and that stuff's wonderful, absolutely wonderful.
The other thing, because what I've tried to do is walk through, we've talked about pieces of buildings. Like I said, in the front of my building outside, I get more compliments about this huge finial that is off of a building, and people wonder where these things are from. But there's something else. I want to just trigger people who are like, how can I use this? Stained glass. That's something else people will find. I've bought stained glass and I've reframed it sometimes, but there are ways to work. And sometimes it just make it work.
You know, I bought my first stained glass window when I was 7 years old. I just liked it. And I still like it. And Chicago had the best windows, certainly in this country, and I think in the world, to tell you the truth. Fantastic stained glass window. Healy and Millay was a big glass company. But also there are windows called, they're just called Chicago windows. Stained, beveled, and jeweled. And the city was full of them. We don't find so many windows anymore, but I still like a good window when I see it. Yep.
Well, and I have a friend who's a developer. When he takes down a particular building, and I go by and I look at the building, if I see the certain window, I've got a couple that are these stained glass windows that I now have on my top deck, kind of giving me some privacy on either side, because it's the glass is not see-through. But yeah, there's just so many different ways to use this stuff in a modern, current place, as long as you're open to bringing the vintage back in.
Sure. You know, a beautiful window is a beautiful window. I don't care if it's in a modern setting, in a Victorian setting. It's just a beautiful thing. That's all. Windows are also happy things. There's very few things, very few little stained glass that would say it's not beautiful, or you just can't look at it and smile. They're just fun, happy things.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the sad part. You're leaving. after all these years, you're going down to Texas. I found it interesting because I know in reading about you, I know you don't like the winters here, and it's not like you left in January to avoid the winter. You're kind of giving it one more winter to make sure that you really mean to leave, right?
Yeah. Well, it may be some sort of punishment to myself, but this winter's not been too bad. So I thought I got pretty lucky, to tell you the truth. But we're moving down to Round Top, Texas, which is currently the antique capital of America. It's kind of a well-kept secret. But three times a year, there are I think about 500,000 people descend on this little town and buy and sell antiques and party and enjoy. And it's a festival, to tell you
what
the truth.
What big city is this little town located near?
We're about an hour and 15 minutes from Austin and about an hour and 15 from Houston, right on the main road there. Gotcha. So it's been going on for many years, but it's pretty interesting.
I know in this new building, I've read a little bit about it, where you're going. The space is sort of unique and really interesting itself.
Well, you know, I bought I thought I got pretty lucky in 1880s, a true cowboy saloon and dance hall. I mean, it's the real thing. And there's some acreage around it and an old farmhouse, which I restored already. And, you know, the cowboy saloon, it's basically a barn with an incredible wood floor, a real old saloon. It's quite nice. So we'll be turning that into some sort of a gallery. We'll probably have some live music. There might be a drink or two passed around, and it should be pretty fun. So we're starting to develop that this year.
So for folks who don't get themselves to Texas, let's give them happy news. Am I assuming that we will see the inventory? It'll be available online. People are interested. They call you and pursue things that way.
Yes, everything will be online shortly. Over the years, we've presented the inventory in nice, what I think are pretty nice showrooms, big, large showrooms.
Oh, I love going to your place. Yeah,
they're pretty good. If I have to say so myself, but we're going to do more online. We've got two people working full time on it currently. What you see in Chicago at the current store is literally 1/50th of our inventory. There's lots here, but we have lots more. And I'm constantly.
Where is that? Where's the stuff we don't see?
Warehouses. There's a couple of warehouses here in Chicago. There's warehouses in Europe. There's warehouses in Argentina. And there's warehouses. There's about 40,000 feet in Texas of what we don't see here. So
You've been doing as things sell, you can just move things in. I'm wondering, like, how would somebody get familiar? I'm thinking to myself, how does somebody get familiar with the inventory that we don't see when we come to you, but we're looking for interesting things?
Well, the best way would be to ask me, hey, do you have that blue elephant? That's what I'm looking for. And I will say, yes, it's here and we can get it to you or whatever. I've never really grabbed the internet like I should, but we're doing that now. Tell you the truth, we're doing that now. And I would think in the next month or two, there should be quite a bit more online and much more friendly.
You know, when I would come to your store, to be honest, well, I bought some things. Sometimes it's just the experience of walking around and looking at things. And it's because I'll look at something that's so huge, like I can't do it. But it's amazing to see what you do. And I remember this was many years ago. You had a bunch of things that were circus oriented. Do you remember Carnival Circus?
Yes. Yeah, circus, carnival. Yes, I love that stuff. I just Friday I was in Italy and I'm in the middle of a deal with a German guy who was whatever the equivalent in Germany is of a carny, but he ran carnivals and he's got warehouses and warehouses full of European carnival and fairgrounds and circus thing. So we're trying to have a deal for, it's hundreds and hundreds of pieces.
Oh, I love that.
It could be fun. Yeah.
They're amazing to see. Would you say the primary base for you, is it dealers and folks like that around the world? I mean, or do you truly survive off the people who walk into the place here in Chicago and say, okay, I'll take that?
No, most of our business is out of state. A lot of it is just me doing deals over the phone. About 40% is from the Chicago area, our customers, who we thank greatly. We love that. But most of it's just me doing deals over the phone, to tell you the truth.
And can you make the, I will tell you, this was not at your place, but I was at a different place and they had these two long pillars, like, you know, marble pillars. And I wanted them in my living room. And so I bought them. And then this particular place, I won't say it here because we're kind of public here, but I'll tell you separately where it was because you'll know them. They couldn't get it out. They couldn't get it out of their store. They couldn't move it out. They literally had somebody come and I got a phone call saying we have to cancel the sale because they're so heavy and they're so whatever. We can't get them out of here.
Nancy's. That's what I said. We can move anything.
You've got big anywhere. Stuff too.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I bought in Parma, Italy on Thursday. I bought a sculpture that's 15 feet high, probably weighs 4 tons. It's in 3 pieces. Oh. No problem. We moved it there, and we'll get it back. Well, it's going to Texas, but no problem. We can move anything anywhere. In fact, I was on the phone most of last night being in the middle of the night with Belgium. We're moving 8 massive stone sculptures there from Italy to Belgium to a restoration hardware, a new restoration hardware store there. Wow. And they had to be there by this morning. And Mont Blanc was the pass through Mont Blanc was snowed in, and the trucks had to go, 300 miles out of the way and all this nonsense. But they should be getting close to Brussels about now. So we can move anything anywhere.
I hope you get a Mont Blanc pen out of it. And when you're done.
I didn't know that Mont Blanc closed, but I learned about 2:30 this morning. That was the case.
Yeah. I used to wear their cologne and that went away. So that's how I began to find out about it. I mean, how snobby is it to have some Mont Blanc cologne, right?
Why not? Well, the pens are excellent.
Yeah.
I used to give them as gifts. Whenever I bought something great, I'd give them as gifts.
Wow. I think you owe me a couple of pens then over the years.
All right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
Let me also ask you this. So for people who are watching, I mean, some of this can sound very expensive. Some of your stuff is very expensive, but yes. can you give me sort of a, I'm sure there's people who are watching who have plenty of money and they don't care. Now there's other people watching, I don't have that kind of money. So who is the customer? What customers should come find you?
Well, we have things from $10 up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, and like you said before, just for your own personal self, that It's a fun thing walking around here. And even if you don't want to buy anything, that's great. We like to have appreciators, as I call them, walk through and just see everything. And I hope take a little bit of knowledge back with them. But we've got something for everybody here. From what am I looking at? From some corkscrews made out of grapevines from France to Louis Sullivan, entire. Elevator surrounds from the Chicago Stock Exchange to I'm looking at a church pew from a local church. It's $300. There's ceramic hands that are, $35 each. Fun stuff. Crystals off of chandeliers from all over the world, $1, $2, whatever. So there's a little bit of everything here. We do like great quality things. I'll never apologize for that. But we like the best of the best, as I put it.
And I love hearing that because it does mean that people who don't even make all that much money can come by and find a little history of Chicago, a little treasure that they can keep as a keepsake. And for the big things, I imagine you will work with them to get things delivered. Now, can that break the bank?
No, because I'm a pretty frugal person and I'm also a no-nonsense person. You can call a moving company and they're going to tell you, $6,800 to move a statue to your backyard. I'll get myself and my guys, we'll rent a truck and we'll do it for $800. And we know how to do it. We do it correctly. To me, it's part of the sale. I don't expect people to know or even want to move these things. In fact, I would look at them as if they're a little goofy if they do want to move these things, because I know what it takes. But now we'll move anything anywhere, and we generally do it with a little bit of swearing and a smile on our face. So we get the job done.
Now, the way you just said that, you actually do some of this stuff yourself. You're part of that team.
I do it all myself. Yes, myself and the guys. Now I'm getting a little long in the tooth for it all, but I know how to do it properly. And I do it personally.
Wow. Well, it was all the years you were up in the Ravenswood area. That's where I would just go and spend all day in that amazing place. Tell people who want to come see you, because you're here till April 1st or so, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Where can they come now and the hours and all of that?
So the new store is at 1065 North Orleans. It's a beautiful old Catholic school building. Mid-century, beautiful building. We've got a cafe and a restaurant, pickleball. If I know you, you're an old customer, if you're a new friendly customer, I'll get you a cup of coffee or a drink. And our hours are 10 to 5, 7 days a week. We're always here, as I like to say. If you want to talk to me, I'm in town for about the next week. I'm leaving, I think, next Monday I'm leaving. And I'm going to be gone for a while. So if you want to talk to me, come on in this week. But the store will be open till April 1st.
Now, is there, just so for folks watching us who may want to go there and want to know the connection, I mean, can you give me a name if you're gone, if it's after this week, that they can go in and say, I saw Stuart on the podcast, whatever. Who should they ask for that you say this is the right person for you?
You know, you're going to ask for Maggie. She's Maggie's fantastic. Our other associates are David and Farrell, my nephew. So any of them can give you a hand, and they're all happy to. They're much more smiley than I am.
Now, do you ever see the day? I mean, look, eventually people got to retire, right? It comes into play. I'm sure you've thought of that in the future. What happens to this vast collection? Does somebody, do you sell it? What happens?
That is an excellent question, and I don't know. I'm trying to groom my nephew, Farrell, to take over the business. I'm not sure he wants to. He's a smart kid, so maybe he won't. But, you have to have a little bit of masochism as well as adventure in you to do this. But I don't know. I will, I retired a couple of years ago, and then another opportunity came up. So I took it in this building. But also, what keeps me motivated these days is that my buying ability and is so much greater now. I know more. I'm buying better things, and that's really a nice motivator for me. So what all happens to it? I have no idea. I try to, I'm in people's houses every day. I'm in other shops all around the world that are really sort of big piles of junk. I don't ever want to be a burden like that to anybody. I will figure out something and have plans in place for it all to go somewhere.
Can I come by and put post-it notes on things that I want?
Absolutely, positively. Come on. Come on.
Well, and the other thing you just said, which is really important, because part of what was in my mind, look, I'm not an expert on this stuff, not like you and all that, but sometimes you buy something because it's pretty, or you buy it because, oh, that's cool. But you have to have an eye. And I'm thinking of your nephew, Farrell. I'm just thinking of anybody. You got to know what you're buying, right? I'm sure there's people who are selling fake stuff out there. Don't you have to have an appreciation for architecture and what it means, but also an eye to be sure what you're looking at is what it purports to be?
Very astute. Yes. And the only way to get that eye is trial and error. And maybe I think I was born with it or something. I was given a gift. But yes, it has to be. And then you have to make it affordable for other people to buy. You have to make it affordable to move. It has to be somewhat useful. Everything just can't be cool and pretty, because that doesn't pay the bills. But a very good question. And I don't know how you teach that, to tell you the truth. It just, you have it or you don't. I always use the example that you ask a guy, how do you hit a home run? The guy doesn't know. The ball comes, he swings at it, and he hits a home run. It's the same with me. I have no idea. Something is presented to me, I'll say yes or no. I'll get the money out, buy it, and we'll work it out from there. So it's an unknown formula.
And, the bottom line is you can go read a book about how to hit a home run, but that's not going to help you hit a home run either. So
not at all.
It's not about the book. So but if somebody comes in and says, look, I don't know a lot about this, but I know what I like and I know what's pretty, I'm guessing you're going to say good enough.
Sure. What I always tell, people ask me, will this work in my house? And I'll say, first of all, it's your house. And you make the rules. So if you like it, you can afford it, and it works physically. Yes, why not? Why not? The only time I say, is it a pure Frank Lloyd Wright house? Maybe you should keep it that way. But other than that, it's your house. It's your thing. You do it. You decide.
But you appreciate this. I used to own, where I live, I bought a couple of, there's a lot of buildings here built in the 1890s, 1880s. So I owned a few of them when I would do that. And I've sold them off, but always to somebody who will keep them. One of them, I actually had repainted, brought back to the original colors of the 1880, very intricate. And the colors were, I did a lot of research. It was done back to its original. And once you sell a building, as you know, Stuart, it ain't yours anymore. And the new owner came in and he just decided to turn it black.
Yes, it's well, there's no accounting for taste, that's for sure. But again, it's not much you can do about it. Now, you would pray that somebody would understand and appreciate the purity and the time and the effort, but there's not much you can do about it.
Yeah. Have you ever sold somebody and then you ultimately come to learn that they just done something stupid with it or whatever? And does that crush you? It's like, hey, it's not mine anymore.
You know what? Probably, but you know, we used to sell a lot of fireplace mantles, as you said.
Yeah.
And people would say, oh, I'm going to paint this white, you know, some beautiful rosewood mantle or something like that. And I'd say, you know, I'm not going to sell it to you if you do that. There's been a few cases like that. No, I just can't. And not that I'm an architecture snob or anything, but there are some lines and boundaries. And, you know, as I always say, these things have to be respected.
Yeah. Well, you'd love the mantle I have here from you that's metal.
One of the cast iron ones.
Cast iron. Absolutely beautiful. And at the time I was building the place, the marble that surrounds it is sort of a rose marble with gray. I mean, the whole thing looks like it's original, and that's what I wanted.
The cast iron mantles are fantastic. Most of them are English, though. There were some made in Chicago by the Dawson Brothers, which was on Clybourne Avenue. You can still see on the side of the building, it says Dawson Brothers.
Yeah. And you know what else I bought from you? I also bought fireplace, I don't know what you call them, covers? You know, I mean, so that go in the front of it?
Yeah, summer fronts is what we call them. Summer fronts, yes.
I got some of those from you, too.
Fantastic. I love the metal fireplaces. They're great.
Yeah.
Really great.
Super. Well, as you can see, I love what you do. I've always admired your career. And through the years, while I bought things, I don't know that I ever bought them from you. I was just there. But I thank you. I mean, Chicago really appreciates all you've done. I'm sorry to see you go. I really am. I get it. You got to go where things work. I'm just glad. What will be the website people can go to? Maybe now, maybe soon, to just keep an eye on your inventory.
You know, website is architecturalartifacts.com. Always was, always will be. And look for some, look for some new goodies. We've been sending containers from Europe and Argentina and the U.S. down to Texas for about a year now. So lots of things that have never run through the store, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pretty great pieces. So they'll be showing up on the website soon.
And if we come visit you now in that address, what is parking like there?
Parking, we have, you know, you can park on the street right in front, but we have about 50 spaces right behind the school building under the L that it says schoolhouse parking. And that's free parking for all our guests. Good question.
The hours again, 7 days, 10 to 4, did you say?
7 days a week, 10 to 5.
10 to 5. I hope to get there before you leave. It'd be nice
Please.
Just to see you and say hi. And anyway, thank you. Thanks for all you've done for Chicago. You've just been, when I first came across you, I couldn't believe it. And everything you've done has just been amazing. Congratulations. I wish you well in the move. I'm just sorry to see you go.
Well, Paul, thank you very much. And I want to say thank you, Chicago. Chicago has been very good to me. And I get a little choked up here. You know, Chicago's been very good to me. Architecture has been very good to me. And I hope I've been the same back to the city and the architecture. So thank you.
I'd like to think I am the way I am now in terms of what I collect. Oftentimes it's because of what I've seen in your place. And I mean that, really. That's what's kind of triggered so much of that. Stuart Grannon, congratulations, the owner of Architectural Artifacts. Check him out or go online if you have to, if you miss it all. But thank you again. I wish you the best. And thanks for spending some time with me.
Paul, my pleasure. Thank you.
All right.
Bye.